The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, You must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May my words and all our thoughts be acceptable to God, now and always. Amen. Please sit down. So, Trinity Sunday, the day when theologians tie themselves in knots in their attempt to explain how God is three and God is one. I've heard many attempts to explain the impossibility of three in one at the same time. I particularly like the one that points out that when a female child is formed in the womb, the eggs of her potential children are part of her body. So a woman pregnant with a female child is carrying not only her child, but the possibility of her grandchildren. I explained this once to my 6'4" grandson, that he began inside me. He was not impressed. But that, of course, is only for a certain proportion of the population. So another suggestion was a visual example of three in one. The preacher brought a glass containing an ice cube into the pulpit, then produced a bottle of gin, some of which was poured into the glass, and then some tonic water. Lo, a gin and tonic, three in one. The effervescing of the tonic might well stand in for the Holy Spirit, but I don't think the gin and the ice would be much help. Although it was suggested that the preacher might then drink the example of the Trinity. My last suggestion comes from the 14th century. It involves using your hand. You can do it with me if you like. Put one arm in the air with the fist closed and turned outward. Oh, you are lovely, aren't you? Right, let's do it. It suggests Strength, power, majesty, all attributes of God. The closed fist doesn't suggest anger and a determination to hurt, because you can't hit anyone to hurt them with your arm in the air. Just try it. It doesn't work. Well, don't actually hit anyone. Right, come on. Right, so bring your hand down and open it out. So love can flow out from power and majesty. The open hand is a sign of peace. The power of the closed hand has now changed for humankind, God with us, Jesus. That's why when we shake hands, we open our hand to show we have no weapons in it, a sign of peace. And the revealed fingers and thumb, which you couldn't see with the fist, shows us that we can use it more for other people. We can take someone's hand. We can guide, we can lead, we can comfort, we can indicate. With the use of the fingers and the thumbs, we're able to create beauty, to create words, to create pictures in the air. Finally, turn your open hand towards you and look at the palm which holds it all together. The palm. The Holy Spirit has the power to fold and unfold the fingers, to make the hand able to be used as a whole. So God the strong releases the Jesus of love, and the Holy Spirit uses the gift, all in one hand. Of course, you can only take the idea so far. The main problem with talking about God and about Jesus and about the Holy Spirit is that we try to put it, them, into human form and confine them with language. Jesus is the easiest to understand because he came in human form and so can be described. If not in physical appearance, in manner and actions, and the words that the writers of the gospel remember. But even then, he doesn't appear to fit into any of our human categories. Our usual questions on meeting someone new, well, what work do you do? Where do you live? Do you have a family? Would be of little help with meeting Jesus. Jesus spoke of God as Father. That's a bit easier. The parent-child relationship is one we understand. But although comforting to some, it is dangerous because it tries to confine God into human words. Compare our image of God as the loving Father with the description of the call of Isaiah, which we heard earlier. God is depicted as the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the skirt of his robe filling the temple. The world of today doesn't deal in mystery and fear and respect of authority, as our early ancestors did. We teach our young to believe in themselves, to reach out for whatever they want. It's a great idea until accident, loss of work, illness, old age make such aspirations impossible. We are finite. God is infinite. There is also our language problem. The present muddle about the gender of God. It's ridiculous. How can an eternal power have a gender? And yet, how to talk about God without using words that suggest gender? I've made a conscious decision not to do so, but I often slip up, and Trinity Sunday makes it impossible. The Holy Spirit is the really difficult part of the Trinity because the word Spirit is not within our understanding like the words Father and Son. A spirit is outside everyday life. We're grateful for the description holy because spirits are often used to depict something terrifying, something out to get us. The Holy Spirit is out to get us, but only if we allow it. If we ask, we can be given power from God. In a diluted form, of course, our human bodies are not capable of containing the power of God. But it is the Spirit of God who comes to us, who will guide us if we ask. Although be aware, it may not be in the way you thought you were going or wanted to go. We Christians are very prone to saying our prayers are answered if we get the outcomes we want, implying that they haven't been answered when we don't get what we want. It's the language problem again. Asking, being answered, are human words. We are talking about a supreme being. How dare we confine it, them, in words? No wonder we get in such a mess when we try to explain how a supreme being can be three and one. My husband Harry taught for a while in a school for pupils aged 5 to 11. On feast days, which fell during term time, the whole school was required to go to the local church. The service was the usual communion service, with no concessions made for children. It was the late 1950s, so the children remained in their pews while the confirmed went up to the altar, and the priest followed the custom of consecrating the elements with his back to the congregation. When asked if he would explain to the children what was happening and why, he refused. "It is a holy mystery," he said. I was going to stop there, but I don't want to end on a downbeat note. God the Trinity is a holy mystery, and that's what makes our attempts to reach out to God so wonderful. There are no right and wrong ways to seek God. There's no 11-plus exam with ticks and crosses. We are all reaching to God in our own ways. And for each one of us, the experience will be different. When I was young, God the Father made sense because I had a strong, loving father. Now I know that not all fathers are like that, or even in a child's life at all. Some people have a more difficult route to God. As a young adult, I identified more with Jesus as I studied the Bible and learned of the man who was God. Now, at the end of my life, I'm far more aware of the Spirit in the world, in other people, and in me. My private prayers are no longer in words. I wait in silence and try and feel the Spirit within me as I grope towards God. God, the Father, Mother, Power, made man in Jesus, the Spirit in me, in all of us. My prayer is, God in three, be in us, guide us, comfort us, now and always. Amen.